What's up, lead 'em up? My name is Titi Ayodurajai. I go to Villanova University where I play football and run track, and I'm an alum of Damascus High School in Damascus, Maryland. Lead 'em up was such a great program for me. When I met Adam, I actually met him my junior year, but where we really took off was my senior year basketball season, and he came to me and my team in a time where personally for me a lot was going on, and you know, he helped me get through all that by teaching me that leaders, you know, lead and encourage others even when it's not convenient for them. And it wasn't convenient for me at all because of the stuff I was dealing with mentally. But for sure, just keep your eyes open, your heart open, and ears open to the stuff he and his team has to teach you, and you're going to be up for success, and you're going to be a great leader on and off the court, and that's all that matters. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Today, I'm joined by Kayla Smith from Chick-fil-A, and we're going to be jumping into a topic about creating a winning environment. Before we do, though, I'm excited to share we're going to be rolling out a year two initiative within Lead 'Em Up, our Green 13. If you're familiar and followed with us over the last year, you may recall about a year ago, we selected 13 athletes that went through the Lead 'Em Up program, that were part of the Lead 'Em Up program, that displayed incredible leadership and character for their team, and awarded them a Green 13 selection. And part of that is essentially verifying them as green. And obviously, through the Lead 'Em Up program, we talk a lot about this need to be green, to show up special, to be money each and every day. And as part of the partnership with Chick-fil-A, we awarded those 13 players free Chick-fil-A for an entire year. How awesome is that? Well, we are going to be doing the Green 13 again for year two. And we're going to be selecting 13 athletes from around the country. We currently have the application process open now. It'll take place for the next 7 days from the time of this recording release, where you can go onto the Lead 'Em Up website and fill out an application. If you have a player that you believe has demonstrated all those traits that we talk about within the green element, and you want to nominate them to be part of the Green 13, go ahead and fill out the form, submit it over the next 7 days, anytime, and we will be together as a team reviewing all the applications and reaching back out with the selections of the Green 13. Kayla, I'm excited because I remember last year how awesome it was for these players that received this prize, right? And just to be recognized as a leader in their character. What excites you most about like the Green 13 awards?
Well, I think it's an amazing way to highlight and celebrate athletes that are out there and they're living it. So it's one thing to listen to the lessons that Lead 'Em Up's bringing, but to embody it and then deliver and see those results. So it's just a fantastic way to show appreciation for these athletes and also a way for coaches to celebrate those on their team that are living it. And I think that's important that we draw attention to those things. So,
and we talk a lot about identity leadership, right? Where when we can get young people to begin to identify and view themselves as a leader, view themselves as someone of high character, when they begin to identify that, they begin to lean into it that much greater.
Right.
And I think when you give them this award of a Green 13, they now wear that proudly on their chest that I'm a leader, right?
Absolutely.
Like I have great character. Like, and then they want to do more of it. So I, in addition to celebrating them and recognizing them, I think there's also a long-term effect that when they get this, they view themselves differently. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Green 13 is so special. And then you add Chick-fil-A free for a year on top. And I mean, that's the
game. Who doesn't love Chick-fil-A? Right?
Absolutely. So coaches, just wanted to share that here at the beginning of today's episode. As I said, 7 days from the release of this episode, go visit leademup.com and fill out the application if you've got one or two or maybe even three players that you think would be eligible and great candidates for Green 13. We'd love to review that, and we'll announce later in May the winners of the Green 13 program powered by Chick-fil-A. So excited for that. Well, listen, today we're jumping into the topic winning environment and creating a winning environment. And Kayla, I'm so excited to have you with it because I've admired your ability to create a winning environment for quite some time. And we'll talk specifics about some of the things you do. And I believe coaches are going to absolutely eat up some of the ideas and strategies of how you approach creating that winning environment. But here's the deal. When you create a winning environment, you stack the deck in your favor. Using a sports illustration, let's take basketball. It's like you get to play with six people while they have five. From a football perspective, it's like you have 12 men on the field to their 11. You see, because the environment essentially serves as an additional leader, almost like an invisible leader of sorts, driving your team's performance up. So when you have that winning environment, the environment can help increase the level of focus, deeper engagement, greater enthusiasm, bigger passion amongst your people. See, when that environment is winning, then the environment is helping fuel and bring people forward. So I look at it in this regard. When you compare it to an environment that may not be as healthy, may not be that quote unquote winning environment, the leader then has to work intentionally to get people up to the level that in places where there is a winning environment, those people just come in at. Okay, like, so the people come in a winning environment, they're engaged, they're excited, they're enthusiastic, they're enjoying the process. Well, in an unhealthy environment, you've got to work like heck just to get people to enjoy the process, to be enthusiastic. So when you've got that winning environment and you allow the environment to help fuel the growth, you then as a leader get to take them to the next level because the foundation essentially has already been set. So Kayla, you do so many things, right? And if you follow Kayla on social media, which I encourage you to do, you will spotlight on occasion the different things you're doing. You know, whether it's a holiday and you're gifting all your staff members, your team members, baskets and letting them create their own thing. I do, during quarantine, you were always giving little gifts of sorts. You do the holidays, you're always celebrating birthdays. You do a very cool thing, not to try to steal your thunder here, but you know, you'll do these questions of the day or the questions of the week where it'll be a fun random question with a big whiteboard and everyone shares their answers, which I have to imagine just is fun. People start discussing, you know, like what's an example of a question that you'd write on the board?
Oh, would you rather have a pet dinosaur or a pet dragon?
Yeah.
Was our most recent one.
Crazy one. And then people write their answers and all of a sudden it stimulates conversation.
Yeah,
they debate it and they're like, oh, really? You know, and... So there's so much done. I want to ask you, and we'll start here, like, is that easy to do or is it challenging to get to the place where this is happening regularly?
Well, it's easy to do once you prioritize it and make it a part of your strategy. So I think that's one of the things that we talk about at Chick-fil-A and is – you know, making culture, and you can use the word winning environment or culture, making that part of our strategy and not just an afterthought or, oh, like, I guess we should do that. Or like when we have time, we do that. And so I think for us, it's easy to do in the fact that it's something that I've decided that it's important and I've put intentionality behind it. And so then, yeah, I think it kind of creates, and then once you see the results of it, man, it becomes addictive, right? You start to watch them and how they react to those moments. And then they're looking forward to it. And then they, oh, Miss Kayla, when's your next, you know, giveaway? Or what's the next question of the week? And you're like, oh, wow, they care about this. Okay, this is working.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And it's important to note also, you're not necessarily like the things I just shared, right? The Easter baskets, the donut of the day, you know, like the donut parties that you have and just all this stuff. Like I imagine as a team member in your, as you're the head coach of your team. Okay.
Right.
If I'm playing for you that, you know, I'm excited to come to work, right? I don't know what's going to be there today. What special thing, you know, how's my coach going to serve me today? Like that type of thing, that there's this joy and enthusiasm that's created. Someone may say, well, like, okay, that may work for her, but like, that's not my style. I'm more results oriented. We need to get it done. That type of thing. It's interesting. You've mentioned to me many times, you're actually a results oriented type leader. You own your location, right? You're an owner operator. You focus on numbers. You are results oriented, but yet you're still able to do this.
Yeah. Well, that's true. So I am definitely, and I've talked about this before, but there's results oriented or relationships oriented. And I am both, but I definitely will tick more results oriented. I'm more about the numbers and the statistics. Where are we going? Are we winning today? What does winning look like? And so I've had to make people part of my strategy. Of course, I understand from a heart standpoint that, you know, you win through the hearts of your people. But yeah, I've had to kind of incorporate that because I can easily get bogged down with meetings and agendas and reading reports. And that comes more naturally to me. But when you start to see the results from the people side, man, does it take a whole new perspective. And so,
So when you talk about like making it part of your strategy, mm-hmm. what does that mean? What does that look like? How does that manifest itself to be part of your strategy?
So we're constantly talking about it. So it's making sure that every leader on the team understands that how important culture is. And so that starts with me leading that conversation and saying, hey, we're going to talk about numbers and stats and what our customers thinking and feeling about our product. What kind of drive-through car counts are we going to have today? But in addition, putting just as much emphasis on the conversation around how's the team feeling today? What are their goals? What are their aspirations? Who's celebrating something right now? Who's going through something difficult? And making time for that conversation and then letting that kind of take a life of its own.
Because you put it on the calendar.
It's part of the agenda for our leadership meetings, for my meetings with my executive team. We sit and talk about these things all the time. And then it's just being intentional about it. And so it's putting down planning time and then putting down execution time and putting it on the calendar and saying, we're committed to this just like we would be for anything else, right? You're committed to training. You're committed to development. You're committed to innovation. People just becomes one of those things.
So it's interesting because when someone could sit here and listen to that and say, okay, putting it into the schedule and like, you've kind of mentioned it's part of the strategy. People mm-hmm. is part of the strategy. Like, it's almost like, all right, what are we going to tackle in 2021? Okay, we're going to tackle this profit, you know, component. Sure. We're going to tackle people, right? That's going to be one of our objectives this year is to love people. Like, someone could view that and say that doesn't feel genuine. You know, like it doesn't feel like you're almost making it like it's a job.
Sure, like a to-do.
Like part of the to-do, like, okay, what do I got to do next? Oh, I got to love that person, right? But I would actually argue that intentionality actually is an indicator of why it is genuine, that you recognize what we all deal with, that life is busy. Our jobs are busy. I think about in the coaching community, you are dealing with so many things. And if you're not intentional to that point, it's not as big of a priority. What do they always say? You know, show me your schedule. Mm-hmm. I'll see your priorities. And I look at your schedule, and even though it's a bulleted point on your objective or your schedule or your agenda, I see that not as a disingenuous thing, but that's you being intentional, recognizing, very important, how you are as a person, that if you're not putting that on the list, it may get lost based on the other things that you have to do. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think the self-awareness that comes, you know, I know for, you know, the coaches listening, that level of self-awareness to recognize you, even though you may set out to be, you know, I want to focus on people and that may be your goal out of the gate, recognizing that life takes over sometimes mm-hmm. and that if you don't stay intentional with it, it may get lost. And to get to the point where you don't want that to ever happen, you can't afford it to happen.
No, you cannot.
Okay. And when you can't afford something to happen, you have to put in parameters. You've got to put in like some protections to make sure it doesn't get lost.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. Culture is something that if you're not actively building it, it's actively disappearing. Mm. So from that perspective, if it's not on my to-do list, if it's not a part of my strategy, if I'm not thinking about it daily or weekly and having conversations with leaders and we're not looking for these opportunities to celebrate or to champion or encourage our team, because we understand that that cultivates a winning environment, which is great for Chick-fil-A and it's great for the team member. And that's important to remember too, is yes, I'm focused on building a business that's successful for Chick-fil-A, but what's their win? Are they walking away feeling like they were cared for. Like they get something out of the deal as well, and not just, oh, they're a cog in the wheel of what I'm trying to build.
How important is creating that winning environment now when you think about, we call it in the sports space, transfers. You call it in your space, I don't know, leaving to go to another company, leaving the job, right? Sure. Just saying I'm done, 2 weeks. If people even do that anymore, maybe they do. Maybe not as frequent as they should.
Not as frequently as we would like, no.
So, you know, I think about this topic from the winning culture perspective. It's so important in light of people moving and like people going to the next thing the moment they feel one way or another. Does that play a role in your thought process?
Well, of course, like retention is always a part of what we're talking about with specifically Chick-fil-A, because when you do lose a great team member, you have to start over, you have to replace them. And that's a lengthy process. You're starting from scratch and you're having to find new talent, and it's not always a guarantee that you're going to find somebody that can replace them. And so it's creating an environment in a home space that they have to feel like they're getting something out of it besides just a paycheck. Or they're going to look for something else. The grass is always greener on the other side, so they think. So my job is to make this as enjoyable as possible for them, so that they look back and say, wow, I loved my time at Chick-fil-A. Sure, I worked hard. Sure, there were long days. Sure, I would go home and my feet hurt or cuts and bruises on my hands and things like that. But it was worth it because I loved my job. I felt cared for. And it just felt like a home. And so we're always looking for people that describe our environment as like a family. It just feels like a family. It feels like a family. Like that for me is a key word. So I'm always looking for how are they describing it to their friends and family.
Well, I would actually argue that most coaches view their team verbally as a family.
Okay.
I do challenge how much of it actually feels and looks like a family. Because I think that term family and creating that family environment is easier said than done. And there's a lot of coaches that set out with the intentions of doing that. But once again, aren't as intentional to maintain it, to continue building it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference here. And that's one of the big takeaways I'm getting from you is this level of intentionality to make sure it doesn't fall by the wayside. And so you do something you said at the beginning of each day together as a team.
Yeah. So we do daily huddles, and it's a way for us to, as leaders, kind of dictate what do we want the flavor of the day to feel like? What do you want the energy to be
is
like?
Is that a pun? Pun intended?
Flavor? No.
Oh.
Why is I it? Wish.
I thought like Chick-fil-A. What no. flavor do we want? Oh.
Oh, my word.
Run with that one. Run
okay.
with that
All
one.
All right. Yeah. So we choose three areas of focus.
Go ahead. I was going to go down the line of puns okay. of like, but I'm sure you're
sauces
so in,
and
sauces.
Things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just
we can get kind of crazy. Yeah. No, let's not do that. So we pick a core value of the day, and we have, you know, six core values, which matches up with the 6 days of the week that we're open. And so we talk about what does that core value look like today? We talk about an area of focus, which is typically something goal oriented. So what are we looking for, whether it's car counts or hourly sales, something to pull them into like the results side. And then we have another focus of the day, which is just something like, hey, today we're going to really focus on getting to know our guests. So asking every guest like, hey, what are your weekend plans? So we kind of have like these three things that we talk about. And then we go through with the team and we have these huddles, and it's very quick. It's about 2 to 3 minutes. And we just kind of deliver this message. We get verbal yeses from everybody in the group, just like you would get if you were, I always say, like an emergency row on an airplane. Like you need a verbal nod and a yes from each person. And so we do that. And then all hands on deck, and we say team, and we kind of set the tone. So setting the tone from the beginning and then reminding them of what's important. Why are we here? What is the mission? And what is your role in that? You're not just a player on the team, but the things that you're doing are direct value add to what Chick-fil-A is trying to do. And they have to see that. They have to see how their work impacts the bigger picture, specifically when it comes to Chick-fil-A and you're only a small part of a really big story.
Are you cycling through those six values every week?
Yeah. So we have a value assigned to every day.
And then the next week it'll be those same six values?
Correct. So like Monday's personal excellence, because we want you to start your week out making the best decisions possible to set up your week for success, right? Friday is Growth Friday. We talk about personal growth and business growth, and you know, we try to set records on Fridays, and so we incorporate that value.
Hey, this is Kyle Omendorf from the Lead 'Em Up team here with today's Leadership Nugget. Today, I'd like to share a phrase with you that we share in our coaching community. We say, introduce it well. How we introduce anything affects the response and the engagement we receive. If we're not excited about it, why would our team be? Don't assume just because you say something, your team will see the immediate value in it. It's important that we explain it clearly. For example, if you were introducing Lead 'Em Up to your team, you wouldn't say, well, we're here today and we're just going to do this thing and spend a few minutes on it and hopefully get better. Or, we set some time aside for this leadership stuff. I hope you get something out of it. No, we wouldn't say that at all. What we want to do is tell them why it matters, especially to us as the coach. We need to introduce it as an opportunity to become a better leader and people. After all, the team with better people and leadership performs better. And that's what we're after, and that's what we need to explain to our teams. If we want to become a special team, yes, the skills and the schemes matter, but so does our leadership and character. We won't reach our full potential without it. So that's why this matters. That's why we're here today going through this, and that's why we need you locked in. Remember, what you say matters, and how you introduce it matters. It can make all the difference. Now let's jump back to today's episode.
I love that because, you know, we recently, I posted a post on Lead 'Em Up not too long ago with this phrase instilled. And I love that term instilled. And if you look at the definition, it says gradually, but firmly established in a person's mind. So it's a gradual process to get something to be firmly established in one's mind. And I want to spend some time on this particular topic because I know one thing we get asked a lot in Lead 'Em Up is, if I've taken my athletes through the program, should I do it again the next year? Haven't they already heard it? Right? Like, wouldn't I be repeating something I shared last year? And there is so much power in the instillment of the values that you hold as a team. And when you're trying to create that environment, talking about it at the onset of the season, at the beginning of the process, isn't sufficient enough. Okay? Can you literally say with confidence that the things you lay out in the beginning of the season, if it's spoken minimal throughout the course, can you say with confidence that it is firmly established in your player's mind? No way. Mm-mm. No way. Right? It could be in their mind, but it's in the back of their mind. But we always talk about it needing to come to the front of mind, because when it's front of mind, that's when it gets displayed. That's when you begin to see behaviors change as a result of their thinking. I love the fact that you cycle through this same core every single week. It is instilling the values that you all have identified as the core values to get to the point where they are living in the hearts of your staff. It won't happen if you just do it on the onboarding training process, week one of their recruit, you know, of their hiring, or in a sports perspective, you know, during two-a-days leading up to the regular season. No, it's got to be this ongoing instilling. And when you get to that point, you now have duplicated the efforts of the winning environment. You now have more people helping feed that winning culture, that winning environment, because they're all starting to believe and hopefully behave in a way that you want to see behaved.
Yeah.
So well, love that.
And they call each other out too. So, hey, today's Growth Friday. Like, why are you slacking? Like, can you pull it together? You know, or Teamwork Tuesday or whatever we're doing. So it's kind of neat to see them when it's not only have they embraced it and it's become a part of who they are, and now they're identifying themselves with that behavior, but then they're calling out their teammates when it's lacking. And that for me is almost even more important.
But you also said you'll spend time talking with the team about how it manifests itself in the workplace, how the theme. And I love that because I think that's so important also. It's going to help produce some definitions and understanding of what it looks like, because what are your six, if you don't mind?
Personal excellence, teamwork, honesty, integrity, stewardship, growth, and respect.
Yeah, you got nervous there.
I did. Yay. I skipped it. I was trying to do them in order of the days, and then I skipped one of my days. No.
So, but the reality is on some of those, right? Integrity, for example.
Yeah, how does it look?
I mean, how does it look?
Yeah.
How does it manifest itself within our team? Okay, well, how does that play out? Because you ask 80 people, because you've got how many people on your team total?
I have 150.
150. Yeah. Wow. Okay. You ask 150 people to talk about integrity, you're going to get 150 different answers.
That's true.
Okay. You ask 15 players on a basketball team to talk about hard work. That's one of our values, right? That's one of the things that we identify that helps us create a winning environment. Well, you're going to have 15 definitions of hard work and what it looks like. You have to talk about how it manifests itself and shows and presents itself where we are in our team environment. Mm. And by doing that, you do two things. One, you give the individual clarity as to where they need to go. Okay, so if we're talking about hardworking, okay, I actually want to know what it looks like to work hard in this environment based on your standards, based on our standards. I want to know that because now I have clarity of where I need to go, where I need to get to. It's not gray area, okay? It's very clear. Secondly, it reduces conflict from an accountability standpoint. So for example, let me build on that. When we aren't on the same page of what these values look like on our team, and we all operate under slightly different definitions, it creates challenges from an accountability standpoint amongst teammates, right? If let's take the hardworking dynamic. If we haven't defined exactly what hardworking looks like in our team and have that conversation, then when I see you, what I appear slacking, I think you're slacking, but yet in your mind, you think you're working mm-hmm. hard. Now there's a disconnect. There's going to be conflict there because I think you need to raise your performance. You think your performance is already good. I call you out. You tell me mind your business because you think you're working hard because there's no standard. Okay. We haven't established it. And all of a sudden the goal of creating a winning environment by establishing these values and communicating those actually creates a unhealthy environment if you don't clarify it. That's why one of the things we're rolling out here soon is green standards on our green team program, where we can all say what green traits are, hardworking, helpful, humility, you know, those different types of traits. But until you understand and we all get on the same page and understand what that green standard looks like, it's not going to be in a good place yet. So I use our nine clap as an example. You've seen the nine clap. When we establish the nine clap and lead them up, one of the things it does is it puts everybody on the same page of what a winning environment looks like on our team. When we clap, nine clap, nothing less. Everybody knows exactly what it looks like. They know exactly what the standard is. And we can hold each other accountable to that standard because that is what is in our winning environment. Nine claps and nothing less. There's no gray area. It's not like, oh, clap it up, Kayla. Right? Well, like Kayla's clapping up could look so different than my clapping up. So I love that. And I love that you do talk about what does that look like in our environment, because that's going to help us produce that winning environment we discuss.
Mm, absolutely.
So let's share some specific stuff as we begin to wrap up. Some specific stuff you do based on birthday. Like I actually want to get kind of
detailed
here, okay. Right? Like some of your ideas. Like I know you may not want to share them because they're your secret. What are some of the, let's go through. What are some of the ways you've kind of created that in winning environment with some of the cool ideas?
So birthdays is something that we are intentional about because that's what families do. Families celebrate birthdays. So if we're going to call ourselves a family, then we need to act like a family, right? So it's handwritten cards from all the leadership team. We do them at the beginning of the month. We have a meeting every Tuesday, and it's just part of our Tuesday meeting is start the meeting with birthday cards. So everyone signs the birthday card. They go out. We've incorporated kind of a system there. I have a whole birthday Tupperware container, and it's got balloons and gift certificates and ribbons and prizes. And everybody on the day of their birthday, if they're working or if it's the next day, gets a celebration, and we bring out balloons and they get a gift from me, and everybody sings happy birthday. It's to the point now. I had to lead that charge for about a year. I had to be the one to go in and make the balloons and pass out the bells and the whistles and get everyone excited. Now they do it without me. Like, I'll literally be in the office working on email, and all of a sudden I'll just hear them explode into song, and they're just cheering and hooting and hollering about someone's birthday. And I'm like, I guess I wasn't invited. But that's amazing. It took a life of its own, and it took a long time for that to be instilled in our culture. But it got roots, and it's now it's self-sustaining, which I think is what I've tried to build. So that's one of our things. I'm really intentional about Mother's Day and Father's Day. I have a lot of mothers and fathers that work for me, so it's always about trying to find something creative for them. I love new drivers, people that get their driver's license. That's an important milestone for these kids, especially if they're getting it later than their peers. I know that they're taking driving school because they have to give me their schedule. So I know that what they're doing. And so it's all about like giving them, like, we usually get them a Chick-fil-A keychain and be like, you know, congrats on your latest accomplishment. It's looking for their grades, having them submit their grade cards, which I'm sure as coaches, I'm guessing you have access to knowing how they're performing in school. So looking for those opportunities to say, hey, like, let's celebrate Joe who got straight A's last quarter, you know, and letting the team kind of rally around these little moments. Again, it's things that families would celebrate. If you're in a family where you come home and mom and dad only talk about, you know, are we better today than we were yesterday? And like, where are we going next? It's like, okay, dad, like, but it's when mom and dad take time to celebrate the little stuff, and the little stuff is what makes it's special. Yeah. So it's surprise and delight through these little moments. And so Easter baskets, like, Easter is important. It's fun. Half these team members have never gotten an Easter basket. They actually told me last weekend when we had the Easter baskets out, they're like, I've never had an Easter basket. I'm like, what? All right, awesome. Make one, like, take it home, enjoy it.
And then you do like coffee bars, like,
yeah,
a little, like,
coffee bars, donuts, like, bring in popcorn.
What are those? Are those just random days?
Yeah. So I'll do, this was during COVID. I was really intentional to make culture a huge focus of mine. And so we did, yeah, it's just picking different themes of different days. So whether it's a taco bar or it's donuts or bringing in, we did seated massages, brought in like a masseuse and just kind of let everyone take a 5-minute break and go get massaged. Like, yeah, it's crazy stuff, but it works, and it's what makes them want to work for Chick-fil-A. I want them to want to work for me. To look back on that experience and that opportunity and say, wow, that was my favorite job I ever had. Maybe I didn't get paid the most, and then, you know, maybe I had to work really hard, but it was important to me.
And you get out of that from a tangible perspective. An employee is going to give you more than...
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
More than you could ask for.
Yeah. I mean, their engagement and the things that they do for me, I'm in awe. Because they could make the same amount of money and work half as hard down the street. So, but they choose to work for me, and they choose to come to work excited, and they care about things that I never thought they would care about. Car counts. Sales. I mean, they don't need to care about sales.
Yeah, they're not on commission.
They're not making any money, but they are so bought into what we're doing, and they feel like they're a part of something that's bigger than who they are. And that's what people ultimately want in a job. You want to feel like you're a part of something that's bigger than you, that there's purpose behind your work. So yeah, it's all cyclical.
And I want to hammer this home because it's so important. That isn't even naturally where your mind goes to from a work perspective. Like, you are a results. I'm not trying to discredit and make it seem like you're like anti-relationships by any means, but you are a results oriented owner operator.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just want to say that because you can hear all that and think like, okay, Liz, this is like very sweet, fluffy. Like, yeah, I know you've heard phrases like that before.
Yes.
Like, always just doing creative Pinterest style stuff and all that. And like, there could be people listen, that's just not my style. Like, I'm trying to win games here. Well, like, okay. Well, how about you do an evaluation of what will help you win games?
Absolutely.
What will help you create a winning environment? What will help you, you know, you know, hold on to the best talent and not lose them and those types of things. Well, I think if you leaned into creating this type of environment, you will see incredible results. And then obviously when the results start happening, you begin to pour more into it. Right. Okay. So like it just begins to snowball, and that's where you do so much now. And I'm guessing it's a result of the snowball, right? Like it's built over time. Graduation, you didn't mention that one. You reward and kind of take graduates when they graduate out for a day or whatever, yeah. Something like that. But it's probably grown because you've seen the power of it.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And you almost become like addicted to that, the joy that it brings as a leader. And you get to watch people just enjoy their job and enjoy what they're doing. And yeah, so I am results oriented and I'm focused on that, but I 100% believe and understand how people are a part of that and play a role in that piece.
You know, as we as coaches navigate the dynamic of players moving on and transferring and how much that has increased, you know, I was thinking about a quote I heard from a good friend of mine, TJ Rosin. Many of you may know him, co-host of the Hardwood Hustle. I had an opportunity to co-host alongside him for many years, and he's an incredible guy. And he was asked recently about the transfer portal and just athletes transferring and leaving your program to the next one. The moment, you know, things may get tough or they may think something's greater. And he said, at the end of the day, he said, if they choose to leave, they choose to leave. But I want them to understand. And when they do make that decision, I want them to feel and recognize that they are leaving someone who cares and loves for them like crazy. And they're leaving an environment that loves and wants them there all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like that there's this special environment. And I paraphrase that quote a little bit, but he essentially said, I want them to know that they are leaving an environment that is special with people that love them. And when they go to that next place, I want them to know and feel that. And if it's not there, like there needs to be a gap there and like a hole. Absolutely. There. Like, and you've joked about, you get a lot of people that leave that come back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They think the grass is greener, this is their first job and they think every job is like this. They think every job is going to be donut bars and candy bars and gifts on Easter. And so they go somewhere else and it's clock in, clock out. Oh, forgot to give you a break today. Oh, you know, I don't even know your last name and it doesn't hit the same. So yeah.
Listen, the winning environment is that stacking of the deck. It's that invisible leader, that additional team member driving performance, even when you don't have to per se, when you can build that winning environment. Hope today's episode was helpful for you. Hope it challenged you to be more intentional. Hope some of the ideas that were shared today maybe triggered some ideas for you to figure out how you could just enhance that environment to which your players operate in. And from a leadership perspective, athletes are going to perform as greater leaders in winning environments. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're going to feel more empowered. They're going to be more engaged. They're going to be more all in. The chances of them becoming green in a winning environment increases significantly. Okay. So it absolutely plays a role from our leadership development, and you're going to get better results from a winning environment. And that's what we're about, trying to produce winning results by developing people, and people will be developed greater in that winning environment. So Kayla, thank you so much. I am Adam. Yeah. Till next time, have fun and lead them up. We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead them up.